Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to episode 56.
56. Getting up there.
Yep, AARP coming soon.
Right. Looking good for its age.
As always, I'm Steve Patera, joined by my good friend,
Evan Shaw Mumford.
And this is the Bacon Smiles podcast. We like to have fun. We like to talk about topics. And
how can you not smile when you hear bacon?
Yeah, that's right. I don't say it enough, actually, but the reason it's called Bacon Smiles, it's an acronym, Believe Always Christ Offers New Smiles, and it's Luke 6:21, those who are hungry shall be fed, and those who are weeping shall laugh. So, I don't say that enough, no. But most
nice
people
reminder.
Where did this come from? Why does... I know he likes bacon. but that's actually where that comes from. But anyway, so today we're going to talk about the fact that my daughter is going to be one.
You're going to have a one-year-old in the household.
I know, but by the next time we do a podcast, my mom is up from Florida, and I saw an article recently about the 10 issues high schoolers face today versus like what we had when we were in high school. So
long time ago.
Yeah, super old. Then you got music.
Yep.
And the reading today is a pretty well-known one, Fishers of Men, Luke 5:1-11, and
Saint of the day,
Saint Teresa of Calcutta.
Very nice.
Yeah. And then you got News of the Weird.
Absolutely.
So, given that we try to do this every 2 weeks, the summer was a bit rough with traveling and all that. We were doing like one a month. But by the time we do this again, Zoe will be 1 year old.
Yeah.
So September 16th of last year, had a new baby, and now I have a one-year-old.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's
teething.
Oh, yeah. She's got like 3 teeth coming in from the top right now at the same time. They're cutting in same time. Any parent out there who's listening is going, oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's been real uncomfortable, and that's why, like, she gets, like, cranky and stuff because, of course, she's in pain, and we're kind of doing this rotation of Motrin and Tylenol and all that stuff that goes along with it. And Eva's just awesome and able to, you know, fight through it all day long while I'm at work. And, you know, I'm very blessed that Eva can stay home with Zoe, and it's just, it's got to, like, drain her and weigh on her. So I'm just super grateful and thankful that Eva's able to, you know, stay home with her. But because Zoe's birthday is coming up and we're having a little party for her, my mom is up from Florida, which is really cool. I got to see her for a little bit over the weekend because she flew in on Saturday. And then today, Eva went in, or my mom came up, and Eva and Zoe and my mom hung out for a while. And that's another thing that I'm just really thankful for is when my mom is up, Eva goes, like, out of her way. We'll go down to the camp down in Higginham where my parents stay up here and make sure that my mom can spend as much time as possible with her granddaughter. And my mom is the type of person that's just not going to try to, like, try not to impose. So Eva does kind of have to go out of her way to be like, no, Rosemary, you can come, like, just hang out with your granddaughter, you don't get to see her. And again, like, one of the many reasons I love my wife is just how, like, just accommodating she is to my mom and just loving and caring and all that. And it's just, I don't say that kind of stuff enough, just you know, I wish I was better at that. But I'm super grateful, and it's just awesome my mom being up here and stuff, because I see my mom like twice a year, you know, and it's just, it's really awesome. And, I'm looking forward to just all the, like, you know, spending time with everyone on Zoe's birthday, like all the family time and getting to see Zoe interact with like everyone at the same time. I love watching her in like big group settings because she's just so awesome, and it keeps her like intrigued, and she's always so curious of everything that's going on.
Is she a social butterfly?
Yes. She apparently today when they went to Silk City, she like crawled over to some random person and like stood up on their leg.
Yeah.
So he was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Gotta rein that in a little bit.
But yeah, she's also like not afraid to like push her way through any, like she'll try to get past people and, yeah. and stuff, but she's almost walking. She'll stand on her own and she'll kind of like shimmy right now. She took like one real step and fell the other day, but now she'll like stand on her own and try to make her balance, and she'll barely hold on to something and kind of walk along it. So it's real close,
yeah,
which is scary.
And she's getting excited too at that.
yeah. And she's just. just so awesome, and it's just so funny watching her like do things or try to drag a toy down the hallway while crawling or trying to stand with it, you know, if it's too big, like a big ball, or she's got this little container that holds four Dr. Seuss books, and so like she'll hold it with two hands but try to like drag it or crawl with it, and it's just really funny, all that stuff. But yeah, I can't believe she's gonna be one. So the big topic that I wanted to talk about today was this article that I saw. And so, where is it? So it's the top 10 social issues facing high schoolers today. Number one, depression, right?
We hear that a lot.
Yeah, in working with youth in youth ministry, we hear that a lot. And I definitely feel like the word is used more. Mm-hmm. But in a good way, where it's not
more aware.
Yeah, it's not like really thought down upon. I think the issue of mental health is starting to not have this negative stigma around it, where you know it used to be just don't talk about it, or you look at someone and just be like, why can't you just cheer up, like get better, and you know, as someone who has struggled through depression, I know it's not that easy. Yeah. And when other people are going through it, I know I struggle with that a little bit, just being like, come on, man, see the positives. Look at all the good stuff we have. And I know, like, it's easy to say that, and I catch myself doing that. And I gotta keep remembering, like, it's not that easy. You know, and you gotta just be there for the person.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes just listening is the best thing you can do.
That's what I found, too, because sometimes I don't have the words to say.
Yeah.
But sometimes that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you're just supposed to sit there and just listen to what they have to share. And sometimes that's what helps the most.
Yeah. And that's where I think, you know, the number of people that say that they suffer from depression is a lot higher than when we were in high school. But I think it's a more of awareness of what that is. I think that the number was probably similar to the number of people who suffered from depression, but I think understanding what it is as a young person is more common now, where you know what depression is, and it's more than just feeling down for a day or two, and it's something that you gotta really work through, and counseling and support being there for you is important. And that if you're feeling that way, if you're struggling with it, to reach out and to find something to lean on and to pick you back up, you know?
Yeah.
So that's where I think that the number being up now versus us is just, I think, more awareness, like you said.
Yeah.
So the next thing is bullying. So the number two thing that high schoolers say that they're issue that they're facing and struggling with is bullying, which I think the style of bullying is way different.
I think that's changed, yeah.
And I think we've discussed that before on the podcast, where it's, you know, it's not the physical threat. That's there too, of course.
Right.
However, it's the constant, what I just call, like, harassment.
Right. Social media.
In the
Snapchat.
Pile-on factor, you know.
Yeah.
It's that mob mentality where you're just more apt to go along with a crowd to make fun of someone else than to stick up for that person, you know? In the social media realm, it's just vicious.
Yeah.
And it's just like the type of stuff no one would ever think about saying to another human being, except for online.
Right.
You know? It's crazy, and that's where I think it's just vicious. And I think the big thing with high schoolers is, if they're going through that, to remind them their value. Yeah. And remind them that they are important, that they are loved, and that, you know, as a child of God, they are never alone.
Right.
And it's really, really hard to see the big picture when you're going through that. And the young people that I have personally talked to that have gone through it, it's really, really, really rough.
Yeah.
In the sense where, you know, pictures or rumors or whatever are being just sent all around Snapchat and Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and all these like fake handles and anonymous nonsense. But it's really hard to tell them, just, you gotta get away from it.
Right.
And it's really impossible to say just turn your phone off. You won't see it. Most other people are gonna talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
Just turning your phone off doesn't help.
And saying, just ignore them, they're just looking for attention, is not going to help either. Because back in the day, it did.
Yeah, absolutely.
But now, as kids are getting more clever and figuring out the loopholes and stuff.
And just emboldened, like just the boldness and lack of empathy in the whole situation, where you can call someone out for it and they don't even feel bad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You hear about these stories of these kids that are committing suicide, and
really young ages, too.
Really, really young ages, and you hear about the cyberbullying, and like the bully gets confronted, and nothing, like there's no, oh whatever, it was just a joke.
Yeah.
Like why are they taking, like, it's like, you realize what you were doing? That's where it's just crazy to me, just the lack of empathy in it, where it's just just do it without any thought. And like I said, you get that piling on factor, and it's just really different.
Well, I think if you don't see the damage you're doing, especially if you're doing it by social media, thus not seeing the pain that you're causing someone.
Absolutely,
I mean, it was different. I mean, maybe not so much different, but if you're bullying someone in person, pushing them around, this and that.
Yeah.
Obviously, the bully's going through stuff too, but they can also see the pain that the person's getting. But if you're doing it online, it's almost like it's not real.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
true.
It's like you're not seeing the pain. It's almost like a video game or something. Where
you can separate yourself from it.
Right. Right. So that way, you can easily say after they did something, oh well. You know,
I was just kidding or whatever.
Why'd they take it serious?
Yeah, and it's, it's rough. That's a rough thing, and it's definitely way different than when we were in high school.
Yeah.
All right, so sexual activity. So
I saw that while we were going over the bullying, and I was just kind of looking at that going, really? You think so? But then back to social media with the way that teenagers use it, and not all teenagers, but, you know, a select group.
Yeah.
It definitely has become a lot easier to be engaged in pornography and
well, so the funny thing is so the statistics actually show that youth are actually less sexually active than they were a decade ago. So around when we were in high school, or slightly after when we were in high school. So the number is down, but I think sexualizing younger and younger is way higher.
Yeah.
Being exposed to pornography, immodest clothing, all that kind of stuff, provocative photos, just stuff, being exposed to stuff that elicits those feelings. You know what I mean? That sense of... Sorry, busters. Making all sorts of noise. Shiny butterflies. But I think that our young people are just exposed to way more sexual content with Netflix. No parental controls, no real rating system, just all that kind of stuff that our young people may not... The numbers of people actually being sexually active may be going down, but I think the number of people being exposed to sex has to be way up. I know the staggering statistic of younger and younger people seeing pornography, and there was a study being run by Stanford or something that was actually trying to see the effects of pornography to people who are exposed to it younger. They were not exposing people to it. They were just trying to see people's relationships and doing questionnaires and trying to find people that, like, you know, in their teens were exposed to pornography and what their relationships were like by the time that they got to college. The problem was is they couldn't find a large enough group of people who were not exposed to it. So they had no control group. And that's the staggering statistic, is they couldn't find enough people who were not exposed to it to have a control group, to have that, here's what happens when you are exposed to it, here's what happens when you're not. When you don't have enough people who are not, you actually don't know what it's doing. Yeah. And that is scary. And so that's where, like, sexual activity... Yeah, slight decline in people actually having sex at younger ages in high school, but the staggering number of people exposed to it is much higher. And that just definitely messes with your relationships.
Yeah.
You know? That's not... A real relationship should not be based around that. You're truly called to find that one person that you're married to and have that true sharing of one with them. And it's just this hyper sexual culture that we're in right now. It's just like really, really messing with our young people. All right. So drug users. So this may not seem like a large number, but 6% of all 12th graders, so seniors in high school, reported using marijuana every day. That's a lot.
That's a lot. That's a lot of money, too.
Yeah.
I'd imagine.
Yeah, yeah. And it's definitely, there's very, very little stigma to it nowadays. Which is not a great thing.
Right.
You know, it's one of those things where, okay, so if you actually look and talk to experts and stuff, any type of mind-altering substance, any alcohol, drugs, cigarettes, even caffeine.
Mm-hmm.
I know I drink caffeine, and all of us do as adults, but any of that kind of stuff, the younger you use it, the more actually... messes with the chemical makeup of your brain. So you actually shouldn't use anything like that until you're 21 to 25. That's what neurologists say.
Right.
This isn't like a moral standing that I have, which of course you should. You should have a moral standing on it. However, there's also like science.
Yeah.
Like the medical community says that you shouldn't do any of these until like just any kind of mind-altering substance. And yes, that actually does fall... Caffeine.
Right.
If you're excessively using caffeine at a younger age, it can mess with the chemical makeup of your brain.
Yeah.
And that's kind of crazy to think about.
And they don't mention in this article, but juuling is huge right now in high schools.
And that nicotine, and it's just... There's so much. Yeah, we've talked about it on the podcast before, but vaping, and there's more and more studies coming out of saying that vaping... may not be any better for you than smoking cigarettes. That that studies are showing that it causes cancer at the same rate.
Mm-hmm.
What? Yeah. And people are smoking it more. So you're smoking 10 times the amount of nicotine in one little vape than you were in a pack of cigarettes. And it's like, what do you think that's doing to your body?
Yeah.
But because it was seen as the healthy alternative
to cigarettes. And that's how it was marketed.
That's exactly how it was marketed. And it's just, it's crazy, you know? And it's just, man, it's for our younger and younger kids, are seeing it as this healthy alternative.
Well, it's kind of like when we were younger and Pringles were really, really big in the 90s.
Yeah.
And my mom always steered us away from that because she said, you know, it's still junk food.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. You know, whether it's baked or fried or right. whatever.
And the doctors were always saying, you know, oh, it's not good. Well, someone saw on BuzzFeed, I think, an article about it, just a meme, and it says, it is cancer in a can, and has like just a couple small statistics on it. And that spread like crazy, and that was like a month ago. Oh, my God. You know, it's like, well... The doctors were saying back in the 90s this stuff wasn't even that great. But
oh, yeah, of course.
But it's just funny because people see it and it's the marketing that people don't really look at the health side.
And that's the thing. So Eva and I were actually talking earlier that I saw a video about, like, the dangers of coconut oil being considered, like, this magic thing and that people are overindulging in coconut oil. And this video said that it has like 10 times the amount of saturated fat. It's actually very close to the amount that's in bacon fat. You know, like if you're going to use that, you might as well just
drink
lard.
It for breakfast.
Yeah. but I didn't look any more into it. And I was just like, kind of like, man, people are making all these, there's so much information out there and you're just never going to find one way or the other. Right. But
a study next week will say it's the best thing.
Yeah, exactly. And so now it's just with the abundance of more and more studies coming out where, you know, teenage drug use, the prescriptions, the, you know, juuling, all that stuff where it's like, yeah, the number of high schoolers using hardcore drugs is down. But painkillers is up.
Yeah.
And that's what's leading to our heroin epidemic that's going on in this country is starting with our young people being on pain pills. Well, even anyone being on pain pills.
Yeah.
The opioid problem, it stems from legal opioid use. And you can easily get addicted to it. It's, you know, in our genes, whether or not, you know, addiction runs in your family, you know, so... And that kind of goes to our next one, where, although, again, the number is declining over the past decade, high schoolers using alcohol, number 5 on the list of struggles with our high school age kids, the number is down, but 33% of high school seniors admitted to using alcohol within the last month. But that's a lot. So a third of all high school seniors used alcohol or had alcohol in the last month. So it doesn't go into how much, but I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that seniors aren't using a lot of great judgment.
Right. I've seen a post or two on Instagram and not looking for it, but it's popped up on my feed.
Yeah. And so that I think that's pretty much probably stayed the same. Since we were in high school. And the... I don't know if the stigma around it's the same. Where, like, I just don't know. our young people don't really, like, tell us.
Yeah.
just in some, like, the partying and stuff like that, I don't think is the same as when we were in high school. But I don't know that alcohol is seen as like this huge issue with our young people, but if a third of them are using or drinking alcohol, that's a pretty big number.
And you know, I could be wrong, so if someone knows of something like this, certainly let us know. But I remember years ago Four Loko being the thing.
Oh, and yeah, the energy drink with alcohol.
Yeah, and I haven't seen anything these days that's kind of the equivalent of that, but I remember. No. You know, that getting shut down legally.
Because it was actually a health danger. So it was...
And I think some people died drinking it.
Because they overdosed. One can was the same as drinking 4 beers.
Yeah.
Alcohol-wise. And was like drinking a Red Bull. So the stimulants and the depressants of alcohol was giving people heart attacks.
Right.
And so, yeah, that was dangerous. And it was clearly being marketed toward younger and younger people. So yeah, that was made illegal because of that. So the other part is just, as young people, they're not going to follow the whole drink responsibly thing. Right. You know what I mean? So therefore, it's not going to be the same. Yeah. So, you know, that's a pretty big worry. And so, moving on to number six, it's kind of a national issue.
Yeah.
And it's kind of become a pretty big issue, which is obesity. So 20% of 12 to 19-year-olds are obese, according to national statistics. And so it's just, that's a pretty big number.
Yeah.
When you think about all kids 12 to 19, so pretty much all teenage years, mm-hmm. are obese. You know, I'm a chubby guy, you know, so I get it. And that's also the declining in the number of kids participating in exercise programs,
right.
And stuff like that, organized sports, or just even just exercise, outdoor activities, those numbers are on decline. So in just the lifelong struggle of being obese,
yeah.
You know, if you can try to catch it when you're younger, it definitely makes it easier. I was kind of the opposite. I was always skinny, and then hit my 20s, started putting on weight. But for me, it's always you know, a little bit, I don't know, more concerning when younger and younger kids are hitting that plat, you know, that level where, yeah, it's like worrisome.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to say that nicely. And that's just, it's just a struggle. And something to be, gotta be watch out for, you know, for parents out there and people who are working with young people. And that just, it can go to that depression part, mm-hmm. like the number one concern.
Yeah. I mean, my wife and I live in a neighborhood where we do see some kids that are out and active, and it's nice.
Mm-hmm.
But a couple of years ago, we were walking, we have a school playground right off of our backyard,
yep.
And it's got this huge steep hill that goes right into the baseball field. And when I was a kid, you couldn't find a spot to go sledding. It was packed, you know, everyone,
yeah.
And their brother and sister, cousin brought their sleds. And a couple of years ago, we were walking and the hill was empty.
Wow.
And it's only been, it hasn't been that long, you know, so it's just, it's one of those perspectives where you go, you know, yeah, some obesity is health is inherited.
Yeah.
You know, but also, what are we missing out activity wise that was going on just a couple of years ago versus now, where we have all this access to cool technology where we can be in,
yeah,
the comfort of our homes.
Well, yeah, that, and it's a different, I don't know, like, it's just a different day and age. Well, that, and just, there's, like, think about just vegging out in front of a TV.
Yeah.
How much content is out there? It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, there's people watching us do a podcast right now.
That's weird.
But so, yeah, it's kind of stinks that obesity is such a problem. Okay, so we're going to have to move through some of these, the rest of these, pretty quickly. So, just for time,
yeah,
constraints.
Yeah.
So academic problems. So they believe that a big struggle, big stressor is academic problems. And I get that, the stress of making the grade, mm-hmm. stuff like that. That's probably about the same as it was,
yeah,
when we were in high school. That's always been a stress, making the grade, understanding. I do think that we've talked about it before. I think the overscheduling of our teenagers, our high school kids, can probably play a big part into that.
Yeah.
If you're not leaving yourself time to study, to do your homework, if you're overcommitting yourself to too many things. So peer pressure is number 8 on the list. That's pretty much the same. It actually,
yeah,
says it's not a new issue. Social media brings a whole different aspect. Snapchat. Teen girls being kind of pressured into being more provocative on social media and stuff like that, which kind of brings us right into our next one. Social media is a,
yeah,
struggle, and that's a new thing. definitely from us, it just flat out didn't exist. Mm-hmm. We had instant messaging and picture messaging and emails and stuff like that. I know that there was some scandals when I was in high school with that kind of stuff. But that's a big struggle. This is one that I found interesting, number 10, that this was by teens. So number 10 struggle for our current teens today, on-screen violence.
I believe that.
I absolutely believe that, too. Just the sheer amount of violence that our young people are being subjected to on a regular basis.
And you look at platforms like Netflix and YouTube and...
Well, there's really no rating system. Right. They're allowed
to basically
do whatever they want.
Right.
And there's no parental controls. And if there are any, a kid's just going to ask for a password from a friend that doesn't have it. And that's where, I don't know, we got to figure something out
here. Yeah.
Like an 8-year-old shouldn't be able to watch a Netflix original series.
Right.
You know, a 5th grader that I had in my youth group last year shouldn't be telling me that her favorite movies are the Chucky movies. You know, like that's scary to me.
Yeah.
Because what does that do? She's a good kid. She comes to youth group and has a fun time. But what is she going to be like as a high schooler if her favorite movie in 5th grade is the Chucky franchise? Yeah. You know? So being exposed to that level of violence in video games and stuff like that, what does that do? I used to think, whatever, it's just a video game. But they're becoming more real.
Yeah.
They're becoming more just able to desensitize you with TV shows and... there's a lot to it, I think.
Yeah. And Jen is an elementary school teacher. One of her kids said that he likes to watch Game of Thrones.
In elementary school.
So going back to your point about kids being able to access these different shows that are on cable, but I think they're also on Netflix, too. So you can,
yeah, so
you can
HBO,
watch it on demand.
Well, so HBO would be HBO Go, but it's the same thing. It's essentially the same thing as Netflix, where it's like, you know, you can watch it whenever you want. But anyway, so let's get into some, family-friendly entertainment.
Sure.
Move on here. With some music.
So a lot of big releases coming up. This Friday, Lauren Daigle is putting out her new album, Look Up Child, which I haven't checked the iTunes list recently, but last week her new song, You Say, was the number 2 downloaded song on iTunes overall.
Ooh.
And it was right behind Imagine Dragons.
Wow.
So pretty cool accomplishment.
That is an awesome accomplishment.
For a Christian artist. Also coming out this Friday, Building 429's new album, Live the Journey. And then next Friday, Blanca comes out with a CD called Shattered. Tori Kelly comes out with a project called Hiding Place. You know, we talked about this last week, or last podcast. Zach Williams is coming out with a live EP called Survivor, live from Harding Prison in Nashville, where he does some prison ministry. So he'll play songs like Chain Breaker and Fear is a Liar, stuff like that. So that'll be coming out next week.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, we'll just go right into the saint of the day.
Sure.
So speaking of... and then we'll go into the reading. But just because it made me think of a really, like a natural segue with ministries, ministering to the poor. Saint Teresa of Calcutta, there's so much you can say about her, but starting the missionaries of charity for poor, for the poor people, going out to the poor, the poorest of the poor, always wanted to help the poorest of the poor. And the one thing about her is in her entire life, she felt that she was not close to God. That darkness that she spoke of in her private journals that got later released, she kept that hidden even from her closest friends and her closest sisters. So she felt abandoned by God for most of her life. And that's crazy to me. But she was such an amazing woman who did so much and changed so many lives and did so many miracles and stuff like that just through so much. And that's where it's actually pretty crazy when you really, really think about it, you know, what she was able to accomplish coming from a very poor area. She was not poor growing up, but she dedicated her life to helping the poor,
right?
Which is so awesome and so amazing. Mm-hmm. And so Saint Teresa of Calcutta, there's literally too much to say about her. If you're not familiar with Mother Teresa, you should. There are many books and many things written about her.
And there's a church in Manchester.
Yes, there
dedicated
is.
Dedicated to her.
Yep, St. Teresa of Calcutta Parish in Manchester, Connecticut. The worship centers of St. Bartholomew's and St. Bridget's. All right, so our reading for today...
From the Bible?
From the
Bible. My voice just got super deep there. I think your arms blackened...
Part of the... Is that better?
Yeah. It's like, wow.
Yeah. Okay. So, let's go into our gospel. Well... The crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God. He was standing by the lake of Gennesaret.
Good job.
He saw two boats there alongside the lake. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, he asked him to put out a short distance from the shore. He then sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. After he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and lower your nets for a catch." Simon said in reply, "Master, we have worked hard all night and caught nothing. But at your command, I will lower the nets." When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were tearing. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come help them. They came and filled both boats so that the boats were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For astonishment at the catch of fish they had made, seized him and all those with him, and likewise James and John, the son of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon, said to Simon, "Do not be afraid, for now on you will be catching men." When they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So, it's just so, like, I love that when you think about that they had been out all day.
Yeah.
And had been struggling to get any fish. Mm-hmm. And then Jesus spoke to the crowds. And had just, you know what, actually, so this is also the thing is, I also learned that the reason he went out onto the boat is because his voice would travel much further along the water.
Okay.
And so if you've ever heard about people who went to the Holy Land and went out to that lake, mm-hmm. and you go out into the water, you can hear, if I spoke like this, I could speak to hundreds of people, mm-hmm. because your voice is going to carry
right.
along the water. So that's actually pretty awesome when you think about that, the fact that he knew it was a better way to speak to the crowd from that distance.
Right.
The other part is that they knew that they had to follow Jesus. Mm-hmm. They knew from that moment, the moment that he said, you know, "Lower your nets," and they caught more fish than they had ever caught in their life. Mm-hmm. And then Jesus said, "Well, from now on, you will be fishers of men," or
yeah.
"You will be out to catch men." So that's, you know, you're going to go out and you're going to help lead men to the kingdom of God. And that is really our goal.
And I love the line where it says, Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing, but at your command, I will lower the nets.
Yeah. And
you know, it's just that trusting and that walking of faith where you're just going, you know, this doesn't make sense to me, but I'm still going to...
Yeah, I'm still going to
follow your word.
Exactly. And that's where it's like, man, such faith already.
Yeah.
You know, when you really think about how much faith they had just so quickly.
Yeah. and instead of going, are you crazy?
Yeah. And so that's where it's like, well, they must have seen, like, just known. Just that, like, that moment, that God moment in the presence of God of just, like, oh, this is my calling. Like, when you, if you've ever had that moment where it's, like, God just really spoke to me, like, that moment where he put something on your heart.
Yeah.
Like, they felt that right then. And then the miracle of how much fish that they caught.
Right.
You know? Like, that's awesome. It's just that those moments that we have in our lives where God speaks to us and helps us, just gives us abundantly in our gifts and our blessings and all that. It's like, when you follow me, you will experience the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
You know, and he will bless you abundantly.
Amen.
Amen. News of the weird time?
News of the weird, and it comes from our neck of the woods.
Oh, yeah?
It's a national story coming out of Tallinn, Connecticut. So this is about a man named Christian DeVoe from Tallinn, 25 years old, who told police he was a paranormal investigator.
Oh, yeah?
And called 911 because he believed he was dealing with an intruder in the house, a scary situation. Ended up firing a few rounds into the house wall, and when the police showed up, he said, actually, I think it was a ghost.
Okay, so wait a minute. What happened? So
he's a Ghostbuster trying to deal with a ghost by firing rounds at it, which...
I'm pretty sure the guns don't work.
If you've seen any ghost movies, any books, clearly physical contact does not work.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You need the photon packs from the Ghostbusters. That would work. You got to cross the streams. But
you said never cross the streams.
Well, they had to. They had to for the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. But apparently he's free on bond, and the Journal Inquirer said that DeVoe had made a similar report back in 2011. So he's just trying to take out the ghosts with guns.
I mean, he needs to watch some Ghostbusters. Clearly, he has not watched enough things on paranormal because he doesn't know that guns aren't going to work.
No.
Well,
he's a youngin'. He's a young grasshopper, and he needs to learn.
So for those of you who are listening to the podcast, you know that music means it's time to wrap up our podcast. We went a little longer than normal today, but we were covering a lot of topics.
Yeah.
We love that you guys listen in. You guys are listening, and we hope that you enjoy the podcast. We appreciate all of you. If you want to email us any topics, steve@baconsmiles.org, and Instagram, Facebook, all that stuff. Like our page on Facebook. Subscribe on iTunes. You got anything?
No.
All right.
Covered it.
Well, thank you guys for listening. Keep smiling, and God bless.